for a couple minutes. This is not a prayer class. We're going to pray in tongues for a little while. Let's stir up the gift a little bit. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost, we thank you for your enlightenment, your deliverance, your direction, your revelation, knowledge, your divine direction, divine revelation, knowledge. We bless your name, we honor you. Mama, we thank you. Mama, this word won't open up unless you reveal it to us. Mama, this word won't say a thing unless you show it to us. Mama, Shanda, we prepare our hearts, we prepare our minds, we prepare our ears. Mama, we prepare our understanding. Mama, to hear from you. Thank you for it, God. Mama, Sandra, just for a few more minutes. My robo, Sandra, cola. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Mama Robo Kolo. No. I receive the mysteries. Right now in the name of Jesus, my robo sandro colo mandra. No, mama sendra de killer little bo sandro colo maha. Thank you, Father. Mama sandro colo, mo sandro colo maha. No, mo sandro colo, little mama sandro colo, little mama sugar. And I'm asking the Kale, man, the Kale, Mondro Ho. Yeah, Robo Sondro Colo, Mama, and a Mama Shinaka. Mushrikarakarada, no Mama Sondro Colo, no Mama Shinakalada, no Mama Shinakarakolo, no Mama Sondro. Me say, Robo Sondro Colo, Mandra da Kala. Thank you, Father. I receive the mysteries right now in the name of Jesus. My Robo Sondro. We receive the mysteries right now in the name of Jesus. My Robo Sondro Colo. We receive the mysteries right now in the name of Jesus. Marobo Sundro. We receive the mysteries right now in the name of Jesus. Ma Shandara. Reveal to us the mysteries right now in the name of Jesus. Menedita Bo Sundro Kola Maha. Thank you, Father. Marobo Kola Mandara Kalananana Mama Sundakalada. Disaidi Bo Soro Kola Mandara Kalananana. Thank you, Father. Mise Romo Robo Kola Mandara Baba Sundra. Na mama shindra kalada kalada na mama sandra mama shindra kalada kalada na mama sandra kalada kalada na mama sandra mama na mama na mama shindra kalada kalada na mama sandra mama shindra kalada kalada na mama sandra inene me shindre. Thank you Father. One of your biggest let's look at this line we had last week. It says the church must tap into a supernatural element so that she can become the church unusual. One of the biggest things, one of your biggest weapons, and one of your strongest assets is praying in the Holy Ghost. And you must pray in the Holy Ghost. Paul said in the Bible, he said, I pray more than you all. And for the church to be unusual and for us to tap into that supernatural element, praying in the Holy Ghost is a must. It is not an option, it's a must. No praying in the Holy Ghost, no Holy Ghost. No praying in the Holy Ghost, no fire. No praying in the Holy Ghost, no enlightenment. No praying in the Holy Ghost, no divine revelation. No praying in the Holy Ghost, no power. Scripture says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible talks about when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you speak mysteries. So I pray, when I pray, I say, Lord, I receive the mystery right now. What mystery? Whatever mystery you got for me. It's a mystery. That's what that means. I don't know it. It's a mystery. Mystery is something you don't know, right? So I receive the mysteries. In dealing with people and in ministering to people and leading people and even being in church sometimes and in ministry, being ministers, it's a mysterious calling. You ain't going to know how to do it all. We do all of it by grace. It's not by work. It's by grace. It's not by your deeds or you being so smart or you knowing so many scriptures. It's by grace. So it's a mystery. It's a constant walk relying on the Holy Ghost. This is when you want successful ministry. It's a constant walk relying on the Holy Ghost. So now this praying in the Holy Ghost must be a prerequisite. Now, this is just a side journey. It's not really in what we're talking about tonight. But you must pray much in the Holy Ghost. I've been hanging with Apostle real tight. We always hang real tight, but I pray with him today. He's telling me some things. And just showing me how to pray. And the other day I was talking to him. He just brought me back to praying in the Holy Ghost again. He said, if you want some strong discernment, pray in the Holy Ghost. He said, you want some power, pray in the Holy Ghost. He said, you're not going to know how to do it all, but the Holy Ghost knows it all. You know, even in the Bible says no man can receive anything except to be given from heaven. Well, how does heaven give it to us? Through the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, I'll leave the Holy Ghost for you. He's going to be a confidant. He's going to be a guide. He's going to teach you all things, guide you in all truth, show you things that you do not know. Be a heavenly endowment. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. This do not approach this word without praying in the Holy Ghost. You're not going to get nothing out of it. You get to read. You get up and start reading this word and start trying to read this word. In your sense knowledge, you will not get a thing. Nobody can receive nothing except the Holy Ghost. Crack that thing open and pour it into your heart. It's the only way it'll happen. Even in your ministry time, nobody can receive nothing. Remember this. Nobody receives nothing unless the Holy Ghost is able to touch their heart. No matter what you preach, no matter how you preach, no matter how anointed you think you are, the Holy Ghost is going to have to crack that thing open to get it into somebody's heart. You can't reach into their heart. The Holy Ghost can, though. So it must be anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost. It's your greatest asset. You must pray much in the Holy Ghost. All right, I noticed when praying in the Holy Ghost, I know it says build you up on your most holy faith and that spiritual, but it just builds me up. I feel like a different person. Praying in the Holy Ghost, it puts me in a different zone. You know, praying in the Holy Ghost is not making, you're already a spirit. You know, you're three-part being, right? I am a spirit, I have a soul living a body, right? The spirit man is my real me, my soul, my mind, my intellect, my will, my emotion, and this body is this suit that I'm living in, all right? The Bible talks about each individual part precisely, all right? But you know, when you're praying the Holy Ghost, it's not that you're making yourself more spiritual because you are a spirit. What's the three parts? I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. But the first one says, I am a spirit, so I'm already spiritual. You can't be nothing else but spiritual, all right? So when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, it's not that you're making yourself more spiritual, but you're making yourself more aware of the God in you and the God around you. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you bypass your mindset. Y'all know we got ways we think things are supposed to go, right? And we already got stuff set up in our head about this is the way it works. No. But that's why he said his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are high. He didn't say that you couldn't access them, but he just said they're higher. All right. Well, how do I get to the higher ways? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So now when I pray in the Holy Ghost, it shocks my awareness. It makes y'all know after you pray for a little while, just a few minutes we prayed just now. Now you become more aware of you become even physically, your senses become more aware of what God is doing around you. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now we spend enough time praying in the Holy Ghost, God will start doing some stuff in the room. We ain't got time, we're supposed to be in class. Got to be decently in order, amen. And move with the Spirit in here. Ain't nobody going to go tell the apostle. I'm not sure when I'm in praying tongues the whole class. But it changes your awareness. It shifts you from a carnal mindset to a supernatural mindset. It shifts you from just what you can see. Watch this. Listen to what I'm saying. It shifts you from just what you can see to what you can see. I want you to catch what I'm saying now. I want you to catch what I'm saying. You go from what you go, you know, I'm not moved by what I see, right? You go from what you can see to what you can. It shifts you. It shifts you to a different set of eyes. It shifts you to a different set of ears. It shifts you to a different set of understanding. Right? It shifts you. Watch this. Then it'll shift you to a different set of speaking. And now instead of confessing, I begin to command. It's a different talk. See, we confess. All right, what do you say in my church? What does confession play? You know, word of faith. What does confession play part in my life? Well, confession says, I confess and I'm confessing. When you're confessing, you're only trying to line your mind up with what the word of God says anyway. You're just saying what the word says, convincing yourself. What's your name? You know your name right now? How you know it's your name? Because somebody called you that so many times. They just said it over and over. If you got a nickname, anybody got a nickname? Why is it? Because they didn't call you so many times. And they called that so many times, and they said it over and over again, where you began to believe that that's who you are. and nobody can change your mind. That's what confession does. But it doesn't make it come to pass. It's just lining you up with the word. Help me, a little side journey. So now just praying in the Holy Ghost. You must pray. Don't step on no pulpit without praying the Holy Ghost. If you ain't prayed, go sit down. Tell whoever you're going to preach for, or tell the people, you're not ready tonight. Because you've got to be endowed with that power. Otherwise, you're going to be up there preaching. You're going to be saying a bunch of words. You're going to have a lot of good statements, a lot of good things you're saying, but it's going to be no endowment, and nothing will drive home to the hearts of man. It's got to be the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the only person getting in there. So we must pray. The church must tap into the supernatural element. And I won't go back over all that this week because I want to move forward on some things. I remember we was in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 5, and then we did 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. It's talking about having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And Paul said, I didn't come with the excellency of speech of man's wisdom. It's not talking about a demonstration of spirit and of power. Power. That power is in the Holy Ghost. It won't be any church unusual. It will be church as usual without the endowment of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 4. But this, you know, we go to the scripture very often. But I want to constantly touch on it. You say, we read this, you know, 20 times already. Well, do you have it? Nah, not yet. So we're going to keep reading it. The Bible said, faith comes by hearing and what? Hearing, so keep hearing. Keep hearing. Keep going over the same thing. Sometimes we read this word and we think we know it, but we just need to go read it again. Make sure we got it in our hearts. So Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And I'll do some pausing in different parts here tonight. With all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You see that? Forbearing one another in love. I'll flip back and it says the church needs to know divine principles of operational dynamics as seen in the scriptures. And I'm looking at the notes. I'm on page 34. It says this is the first divine operational dynamic that can cause the natural church to become the church unusual. And it says knowing the power of being and becoming one. Being and becoming one. Being and becoming one. Now you, as you're on your own and your own self, are one. Your members work together as one, right? Everything on you, physically in your body, work together as one. Your hand doesn't go over there and then the rest of your body go that way. We all go together. Your hand can't tell your other hand it wants to do that. No. You do what I tell you to do. Whatever my mind tells you to do, that's what it do. We all go together. You can't leave your hands here and say, I'm going to come back and get them tomorrow. No, we all got to go together. So you as an individual are one, but then you are a part of a bigger one. Yes, sir. Yes. You are a part of a bigger whole. So now it says, endeavoring to keep the with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, underline the word one another in love. And that's the only way you can forbear. And long suffering, forbear one another. It's got to be in love. You will not do it no other way. You ain't going to do it by being friendly. You ain't going to do it because it's your friends. You ain't going to do it because you're deep. It's got to be because of love. This is the only way you can have long suffering. I'll tell you from experience. Long suffering and meekness, lowliness, all lowliness, and forbearing one another in love. Verse 3, endeavoring. Watch this, endeavoring. What does it mean to endeavor? Anybody knows? Just endeavoring. When you endeavor something, when you're endeavoring to. All right, think about it. Use a context clue now. Endeavoring to keep. All right, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond and peace. When you endeavor to do something, you're launching out to do it. I'm trying to do it. I'm giving an effort to do it. That's what endeavor means. You know the word endeavor. It may not be the Webster's definition, but that's what it means, to try to do something. You're trying to accomplish that. So I'm trying to accomplish. Watch this. I'm trying to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond, in the bond of peace. Underline that word unity. Verse 4, there is one body, underline one, and one spirit, underline one every time you see it, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one hope of your calling, one hope of your calling. I'm saying that stuff for a reason. I'm repeating it for a reason. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Underline one. Verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, in y'all, in you all. But unto every, verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So how many times are you talking about one right here? How many times do you say one? I'll count them right quick. From the beginning to verse 7, how many times do you say one? Go ahead and count them. Between 1 and 7? Y'all counted 6, I counted 9. Counted 9, between 7 scriptures, he said 9 times. He's trying to get something over to us about this one. When you start talking about one, you start talking about government, and we're strong about government. Thank God for what God is doing with Apostle Thompson, and we're lining things back up in government. We're talking about government because it's one body, one faith. One faith, one law, one baptism. Well, it says, I'm going to read them again. It says, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. How many bodies?
One.
There is one Spirit. How many spirits?
One.
Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5, how many laws?
One.
How many faith?
One.
How many baptism?
One.
One God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given, every one of us, to every one of us, to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We'll read further down in a minute. But this is talking about strong government. There's one. There's a power in becoming one. Now, if we look at the church as a whole right now, that's not our stature. One, it's not what we look like. We are many. Last time I heard somebody say we are many was Legion when they had them demons. Remember them demons in the Bible, huh? He said, we are many. We are many in here, right? That's how the church been screaming. We are many. Nobody says we're one. Nobody wants to be unified. We all believe in Jesus Christ, right? At least I hope we all believe in Jesus Christ. We all believe in the baptism. They got some people that's Christian but don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, even though it's plain in the scripture. What you looking at? What scripture you reading? What Bible you studying from, right? We all, Jesus paid the price for all of us all. So now I say one law, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is through you all, lives you all is for one calling. It's one calling. This is government. Now, the problem has come in because we're so separated. And we're everywhere else that there's no power involved. So the power gets cut off because the original intent was for oneness. The original intent, and we'll read further about every joint supply, the original intent was for the one, the grace that he's given to you as one to come with the grace that he's given to me as one and make a bigger one. I used to watch the cartoon called, it's a throwback, it was called Voltron. Voltron is made of it's so crazy, electronic little whatever, in space or whatever, but it was like five of them. They tried to remake it in the Power Rangers years back. But it's five of them. They all run around, and they got power. They run around in a little lion machine, a little tiger machine. They got power. They jumping all over the place. And they can cause some damage on their own. But when things got too tough and things got too hard, they decided to get together and form this big thing called Voltron. Yeah. And where all of them start connecting and start clicking together and perform a bigger and make a bigger whole that's bigger than they are individually.
Yeah.
And so Voltron could get more done than individuals. Now, when they made it, now watch this, when they came together, one would be the leg, one would be the other leg, one made up the middle part, someone made the arm and the head come out popping out, and now you got this big, you know, machine that's ready to tear it down, all right? But if one of these guys wouldn't show up, one of these guys decided that I want to do like I want to do it because I got no power in me. I got my gifting, Lord. I got my anointing, so I'm gonna go do what I feel the Lord has put on my. I want me. That vocabulary can't exist in church. Unusual. What I want. That don't exist in ministry. Y'all might as well start killing them words now. Because you can't go where you want to go and just go do everything you want to do, because it's not all about you, number one. But then number two, it's one. I'm endeavoring to keep the unity. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope and you're calling, one law, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who's above you all and through all and in you all. This is government. It's coming together. It's coming together to bring a bigger whole. There's a power in us being and becoming one. It's all about government. You know, when we talk about government, it's talking about fixing the funnel. Y'all know we talk about the funnel from heaven to earth, right? Right. And the gateway, right? Well, if a ladder is scattered, you can get all the way down. The ladder. Y'all know the ladder I'm talking about, right? Jacob's ladder, you know the ladder. If the ladder is scattered, the pieces all over different places, and it's not connected properly, then whoever's trying to come down from the top can't get all the way to the bottom. Because there's a scattering. That funnel from heaven, God is trying to do some things, but because we're everywhere else but lined up in government, now the power has won. You wanna know, they ask in the Bible, what is the cause of the former days were greater than these? You ever read that scripture before? Somebody asked, what is the cause that the former days, the old days, when we read in the Bible, were greater than these days? Then he said, but thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. There's no power here in this church now. There's no what your consideration or what your inquiry should be, but where am I supposed to be? Why am I not in place? It all begins with us. It all begins with an individual effort to line back up in the government, to make a plan, to say, you know what, I'm going to connect no matter what. The power is greater than, because they was more together then. We got all these different religions inside religion. You got their version of Jesus. They got their version of Jesus. Jesus is who he is already. He ain't never changed, right? Jesus Christ saying yesterday, today, and forever. But we come up with these different Jesuses and these different doctrines because it's man-made, because we want to do what we want to do. I know you start talking about it in the further when we were talking about it last week. It would have to dismantle, because they would have to break down some of the things they built to get what they've always wanted. Remember that?
Yeah, yes, sir.
But now it's time to break all it up and shed it down. So now, and I'll read some more in this chapter. And then page 35, it says, and I underline it, I'm being assured by the Holy Ghost that we're coming to an age to enter this operation dynamic so that the church will be ready for what is about to happen. These days of heaven are coming down to earth. And I'm talking about the days of government. I thank God that I'm seeing this stuff happen right now. Don't want you to miss it. Don't you be like these old regular preachers. Listen to me. Look at me. Don't you be like all these old regular preachers running around here, running your mouth. You find you a connection, you find you somebody to connect to, and you stay in government. Remember, I told you this. Yeah, we didn't have enough preachers running around here saying all this crazy stuff. I'm talking about what the Lord anointed them to do, and ain't getting nothing done. And you're running around being real busy. Who you want to be, Martha or Mary? Who you want to be, Martha or Mary? Who you want to be, Jesus at both of their house, but who you want to be, Martha or Mary? Jesus was there. He was at both of their house. But one of them chose that good thing. And not only did they choose the good thing, but it couldn't be taken away. So there's a difference. We were talking today, me and my father were talking today, and that good thing is just a gift from God. You have to sit at Jesus' feet and just decide to serve him. You know, you can get cumbered about much serving and get real busy. There's a lot of busy churches. They do a lot of activities. They got a lot of stuff, and they feel like you're pleasing God. You feel like you're appeasing God. You feel like the more work you do, the more right you have to the righteousness. But ain't nothing you can do for your righteousness. The Bible says you are made the righteousness. You are made it. You are made it. No. You didn't. You know why? Watch. You didn't work for it. You didn't create it. You didn't accomplish it. You were made it. It made you. You are made the righteousness of God. Through what? Christ Jesus. There ain't nothing you can do for that. Even in ministry now, ain't nothing you can do. Man, listen, it's supposed to be sweatless. You need to just yield, find your spot, see what God called you to do, and then line up in government. And it's supposed to flow. If it ain't lining up, you ain't lined up. Y'all get me?
Yes,
sir. So we're coming to the place where the days of heaven are to come back down to government, talking about government. Skip down the next paragraph, and it says, the church unusual will manifest its supernatural element when she discovers the power of becoming one. And before I go to this next part, I want to read the rest of this fourth chapter. Starting on verse 7, but every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it is, but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, that's it. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. For what? Edifying. What does E word? What does edifying mean? Come on, preachers. Come on. What is edifying? Huh? To build it up. Okay. So I got. So he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Perfection has less to do with being flawless and more to do with purpose. Remember this now. Remember maturity. That's it. It's immaturity. It's not about being flawless. You ain't gonna be that. You know that, right? Stop trying. You're not going to be it. You can't be flawless. All right? But you can be mature. For the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the what? Until we all come in the what?
Unity.
Underline unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, not perfect men. Is there perfect men? I'm stressing what I'm saying for a reason. So you see this one. There's one. We could run around here, all these individual mindsets. No, there's one. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, without a lie and wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, you read. Read it again. One more time. So I see that I cannot make increase of the body to the edifying itself in love until I do these, till I'm fitly joined together. Huh? You see the first part? I'm going to teach you how to, that's how you preach sometimes too. You can take that scripture and go backwards. Take that scripture, catch the end part, and start reading it the other way. That's a good way to preach it, so you get some understanding. The Bible says, all that get and get what? So when you minister somebody got to leave with some understanding. So I said at the end, I can't make an increase of the body until the edifying. There's no increase in the body. There won't be any increase in the body until the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. You ever had in school we used to do them group projects? You ever had to do a group project? I felt two different ways about group projects. Because I know with group projects, you know, they could work out being fun, and you get to talk in class, and, you know, it might be a great thing. And I was always a team guy. But then I also felt kind of leery because, you know, I used to want to pick my own team. I wanted the teacher to pick, you know, no. Y'all know playing ball. You go pick your own team. You kind of know your homeboys. You know who can dribble, who can't dribble, right? So you're looking around. I'm trying to pick my own team because I know that if, you know, in class sometimes if you get with this person that don't want to work or don't want to do the things they got to do, it's going to be a heavier burden for another. Or you gonna drag me down. Or if we playing basketball, we playing football, whatever it is, you ain't going to be able to guard the man because I know he's faster than you. So now they're going to just be throwing to your side of the field all day long. They're going to be driving to your side of the goal all day long. Right? But it says every joint supplies here. It says every the effectual working, but every joint, the effectual working of every part. And I would say, you know, Well, you know, it's kind of tough, Jesus, because, you know, we got weak links. But then I jumped further up in the chapter when we read a little further, and he said he gave gifts. Everybody got gifts, right? If we all didn't have gifts, then we have something to talk about. Well, Lord, we can't be unified. But that's not the truth, because he gave every man gifts. All right? All right, then not only did he give us gifts, but then he gave us apostles, pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets. Right? Yeah. He gave us all those things. So now it would be something if he gave us gifts, but then we didn't have no coach. Right? But we really as a church, watch this. Now, I want you to understand this. Really as a church, we have no excuse to be as weak as it is. The only excuse you got is self. The only reason the church is weak is not God ain't weak. The Holy Ghost ain't weak. Jesus ain't weak. The power of the cross ain't weak. The power of the blood ain't weak. The anointing has never lost its power. So now if there's a weakness there, the weakness is it's all in self. You got a coach. You got coaches. You got a whole offense coordinator, defense coordinator, head coach, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, right? We got all that together. We got all the things we need, and we got the gifts. And then it told us we got to work together. I wrote on top of my thing in this next page, but I wrote on top of my thing and said, strong dog was talking about teamwork, practice, one flow. Teamwork, practice, one flow. Teamwork, practice, one flow. Teamwork, practice, one flow. This is something that you got to work at. You got to practice at this. You got to be connected. You got to be around. So when coach call out a play, you know how to play run. A lot of times coach will run the play for you. I remember I used to play ball. And coach said, this is how you do it. This is how you come across the pick. And he'll tell us how to do it and then say, all right, now go do it. Run around the pick. And if you don't do it right, coach say, no. Because the pick don't really work if you don't slide off and rub. Now, if you know you're playing basketball, you know the pick doesn't work unless you slide off the person. You can't just run all the way around them and be like this, because the point of the pick is to stop the person from running around with you. So coach see you doing wrong, he said, hey, go back. Go back, run that drill over, because you're doing it wrong. And if you don't do it right, you'll never get open. And if you never get open, you'll never be able to score. You'll never play your part. Showing you how to do it, all right? Now, I remember them little dudes used to want to play ball and thought they was God's gift to basketball. That's how preachers get sometimes. Y'all know, come on, hold on, let me look at the wall. Y'all know how we get. We get anointed, and God start doing a little work. They say with Samson, when the anointing of God came upon Samson, he just came in like he running things. Y'all know how we get. Me too. So I'm going to say me first, so y'all won't have to lie on yourselves. All right? You get the, you know, God called me, I'm the reverend, nah. You know, I'm the reverend. God done called me out in church. I done got ordained, got my license. I don't care about all that. You know, you get that one dude on the team that think he just it. So he dribble around all day. You wide open under the goal, but he dribble around all day. You ever play football, they got the one little dude catch the football, and he just run in little circles. I used to hate the little dudes that was fast, want to play quarterback, because they never want to throw the ball. They always wanted to run. I understand you fast, all right? But we got other people on the team. I understand that you good, but we all out here playing, all right? Now, I'm not pointing at them, and we fussing at them right now. I'm talking about you. You stop running around with the football. You stop thinking you Jordan. All right? Just get on the team. Get on the team and play ball. And when coach call your name, get in the game and start shooting. Y'all get what I'm saying? So he just set us up. It's teamwork. 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 And so it takes practice. And that's why we read Ephesians 4 over and over again, so we can understand that it's all about the oneness. I don't know what God called you to do. I don't know what position God called you to play in. But whatever it is, I need it, and you need mine. And I shouldn't be up here thinking, what's a coach without some players? But what's a player without a coach? But every joint supply. Stop screaming talking about you won't be coach. You ain't called to be coach. God didn't gift you with the coaching ability. Or maybe you just ain't learned that much yet. These people talking about the apostle. How you Hey, you 30 years old and you an apostle. You ain't been through nothing.
That's good.
Listen, y'all say what y'all want. You ain't been through nothing. I know what the apostle's office is. I know what the prophetic office is. You ain't been through nothing. How you going to lead somebody else to something? You just got out of school. You just graduated last year. You're not an apostle. I be wanting to call him. I got a hug and love. I be wanting to call him like, hey, yo, you're not, no. Let it go, Reverend. I call him Reverend when I see him. Absolutely. I'm not going to throw them words around. No. No, I won't do it. I won't do it because I respect the office. I respect the gifted. All right? So I run around talking about you want to play point guard and you a power forward. Play your role.
Yes, sir.
Stop looking at my role. You supposed to be dribbling over here. You looking at me. How you gonna get done? What you gotta get done? Play your role, but understand that you're a part of a bigger team. So you gotta maneuver in this thing, man. You gotta stay in your lane, but yeah, you gotta know that your lane is connected to some bigger lanes. You know, you ever been on the track before? You ever been on a track? Have you ever been to a track?
Yeah.
You know, a track got about 6 or 7 lanes, right? But all of those lanes make up the track.
Yes, sir.
The track ain't just one lane going around. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I got 8 lanes. But all of that makes the track a track.
Yes, sir.
You got to stay in your lane. Play your part. Be a part of the bigger whole. Be a part of the bigger unit. Understand that it's not all about you. That's kind of tough, ain't it? Who would tell me to stay in my lane but work with everybody? Huh? Only the Holy Ghost can help us do it. Stay in your lane but play your part. How does that? Stay in your lane, play your part, but you know you got to be connected to the next lane, right? It seems kind of weird, don't it? But it's the way God set it up. It's the way God set it up to get things done. The power of being one. The power of unity. Don't you get out. Whenever you find a spot where you just out there by yourself, nah. At one time in life, okay, cool. Because I'll be like, cool, well, yeah, you might have to be a little bit out there. You know, we start talking about the Isle of Patmos. Paul had to go out there by himself, right? And we talk about it. At one point in life, Paul had to do that because ain't nobody else had a revelation of Jesus at the time. That ain't your case. Don't be screaming about the Isle of Patmos. You don't even know where Patmos at. Don't be screaming about that. You're supposed to be connected somewhere. Right now, now if we wasn't talking about this, the Bible says to him who don't know, he gonna get stripes. But him who know better and still do the foolishness, gonna get many stripes. See, if we talking about it, now, you got accountability now. You need to know that you need to be connected somewhere.
Yeah.
Anytime you look around and you find yourself off on the street by yourself, you probably went the wrong way. If you off in the dark by yourself, you probably somewhere. It'd be something if you didn't have people walking in covenant. Or you didn't see government, but when you see government, connect to it. No renegade preacher. We got no renegade preacher. You know, scripture, and y'all look it up real quick, and I didn't write it down, but y'all look it up right quick. You know the scripture about a house divided against itself? Come on, preachers, find it. Come on, reverends. Y'all find it right quick. Use them phones. Put them keywords in that search. Go there. Matthew 12, what it is? 12:25. Which one? I like Matthew 12:25. Mark 3 and what else? Yeah, and I like Mark 3. Mark 3. And you know, for context, Jesus is talking about how you cast them out through Beelzebub. He said, well, how is Satan going to cast himself out? Right? And then verse 24 is a powerful principle. 24 and 25, it says, And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Listen, this is principle. And the enemy knows this. He's been diverting the power and neutralizing the power by getting us to be separate. You know, the Bible talks about how can two walk together except they agree. Right, right? The power of agreement. You know, the Bible talks about if two of you agree is touching anything. Right, 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 right? The enemy knows the power of agreement. He knows. All right, he already knows what the anointing is already. But then he knows that if your gift connect with your gift, and then connect with your gift, and we be on the same page, and we all listen to the Holy Ghost, and we all move in the same direction, you can't stop us. He knows that. You ever seen a team work really good together? Like, there's some teams that just work really, they've been playing together for a long time, and everybody knows what to do. You just know what to do before it's time to do it. You know, football season, you watch a lot of football, and there's some quarterbacks and wide receivers that play together so much, and they practice together so much, and they've been running the drill so much that when you off the block, like you call hike, they just running the drill from the dome. Like, they just run it without, they ain't looking, trying to see if he pointing that way. No, he just knows where to go because he's been spending time. Because they've been taking time and they've been practicing. So now when it's time to get in the game, I know the route to run. I know if my DB right here in front of me and he pointing that way, then I know to take this and run a quick slant, because that's what the quarterback going to be looking for. But we on the same page. Because we've been spending time together. We're focused on being one. All right, this is why let me deal with this. This is why our connection is important. God connect you somewhere. Be there. Don't be letting no meetings pass by and you ain't there. What you doing anyway? Where you at is more important than your connection. When your apostle's on TV, or not on TV, when he's online, what you doing? What you eating cookies for? Turn the computer on. Shut everything down. What did Elisha do for Elijah? See, double don't come just because you want double. Double ain't going to come through your confession. Watch this. Double ain't going to come through your praying in tongues. You know how double comes? Connection. Ain't no other way. What are you doing? I be texting some young guys on the road, and I say, what y'all doing? Tell me what Paul's talking about right now. Are you watching right now? Are you paying attention? What you doing? Where you at? Are you watching the game? See how much anointing you're going to get out of that. Are you watching your TV show? See how much anointing you're going to get out of that. Do you want it or do you not want it? Stop telling me you want it if you ain't about doing nothing for it. Stop telling me, you know, double portion. Everybody wants a double, don't we? Everybody, God, give me everything you got. Give me all the anointing, right? What you willing to do for it? How much you paying for it? What's the price that you paid for a double? Did you give double of your time? Huh? Did you sow double? You know, they say everybody want a 100-fold return. Woo! Give me 100-fold, Jesus. Plant a seed, get 100-fold. That's cool. That's cool. Your seed is cool. Praise the Lord for your seed. But Bible says, the man be done gave up houses and land and family and kinfolks. And all that, y'all know the stuff it lists. Yeah, they gave it up for Christ's sake. They gonna receive 100-fold. What are you willing to give? And what measure ye is measured. This, all this talking about the power of one, connection. When things are connected, they become one. They become one unit. Become one flow. The electricity flows through the connection. It becomes one flow of power when you're connected. That's the power of one. And the moment that you disconnect is when you cut yourself off from the power that God is trying to send through. There's a lot of preachers running around here like batteries. Huh? Our batteries are useful. They'll die out in a minute. They switch them out like batteries too in them churches, don't they? They use that pastor up, and when they get tired of him, or when he don't want to go like they want to go, they vote him out, don't they? Like batteries. What you trying to be? Oh, I want to be a D battery because it's a little bigger than the double A, huh? You still a battery. We used to hook them. We hooked them cameras. The camera right now using. Right now, it's hooked up to power in the wall. It's hooked up to the power in the wall. There's a connection on the back of it that's running through a wire that connects it to the surge in the wall that the power constantly flows. So that camera ain't gonna cut off. But we also use them portably sometimes. We gotta charge the battery. You got about 3 hours. You got about 3 good hours of filming. And you gotta set that thing back, or you just can't use it no more. But as long as you connect it, the power's always flowing. Come on, stick with me. As long as you connect it, the power is always flowing. I'll say it again. As long as you're connected, the power is always flowing. Don't be running around here like a renegade battery. Let them Energizer Bunny commercials fool you. It don't go that long. No, they die too. You got to stay connected to the source, connected to the power. It's a power becoming one. Amen.